And welcome everybody to the world famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. I'm Robert Leonard.
I'm Margaret Gray.
I'm Bud Dickman.
And I'm General Galen Shaw. Here's the man himself, the man, the myth, the legend, the... Phil Henry. Yeah, there, that's his name. Hi, welcome to the show, folks, and this is General Shaw singing here. Is this your band, General? Is what my band?
He's making a joke, General.
This, whatever you're playing here, this can't be music.
Yes, it is. It's kind of cacophonous, and yet it's, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, what? You think that's me leading a band, huh?
I'm fooling around. Anyway, welcome to the show, folks. Whatever that was pretty interesting.
But I think it's that guy Charlie Mingus or whatever.
Charlie Mingus?
What are you talking about, man?
It's Blunderphonics, you know.
Yeah, okay, Blunderphonics. Great stuff, guys. I
don't make fun of them, Phil. They're trying to get heard. They're trying to break through.
All right. Blunderphonics, folks, with the music that started the show. Actually, I enjoy that because I've played it more than once as bumper music.
You can't save it now, Phil. You've insulted them. Young men and women. I don't know who's in the band. I don't know what they represent. But they were trying to break through with a little bit of a recording of their own, a little bit of original material, and you play it on your podcast and mock it. Why? Because you got nothing else. You got no material.
All right, Margaret, take it easy.
I'm just fooling around.
All right, Phil. So, you know, I mean, give it a rest.
All right, I'll rest it, even though I find that to be very vulgar.
Well, the idea that you rest it.
Yes.
Right, okay, well, I'll make sure that I don't stray into that kind of nebulous area again.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, when you said nebulous, Mr. Henry, you went like that with your hands like you're juggling two gigantic...
Would you please?
So anyway, welcome to our program here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, as we kick off this Friday. Tonight we have a chat. The Friday night chat starts at 7 p.m. Pacific, and no matter where you are in the entire... galaxy, make sure you check us out there tonight at 7 p.m. PhilHenryShow.com. If you're a BSP, you have to have a Backstage Pass subscription to the show. Another piece of show news, I'm going to be going to Florida.
Yes, Phil's heading to Florida 1 week from tomorrow, and that's to visit with Jackie.
Now, Jackie, it's her turn to come out here.
Yeah, usually you guys do that, right?
Yeah, but I'm in Kirby sick.
Well, that's the reason why we're... changing it up. Usually we alternate. You know, I'm in Florida, she's in California, until she gets her house sold and we're all together as one big happy family. But until that time, we're flying across the country. Now, the thing of it is, Kirby's
the Irish setter.
Kirby's Jackie's Irish setter. He's an elderly guy, man. He's 17 years old. That's old.
If you're a dog years, that's like 150 or something.
Yeah, they don't do that anymore, man.
Do they actually?
I don't know. I heard that the dog year thing is...
Well, it's a little bit overstated, but it's still very elderly.
Right. 17 for a dog is pretty old. Kirby's 17. And when I first met that dog a year ago, he was very active, but now dude's not, you know, he doesn't just get around as fast as he used to. Jackie doesn't want to leave Kirby with any kind of a dog sitter, and I don't blame her.
Now, I would not leave an animal as valuable as that. A beloved animal.
All right, Mark.
Wait a minute, I'm going to get this said.
But Mark,
I'm going to get this. I would never leave a beloved animal like that with any dog sitter or some of these clowns, you know.
Well, what do you mean, Margaret?
I wouldn't do it.
She's not going to do it. Ryan, who is Kirby's, you know, brother, basically. I mean, the two of them were raised together. Ryan got Kirby when he was six. Ryan's at school now at the University of Central Florida. It's impossible for him to get down, and he would if he could. It's impossible for him to get down and to take care of Kirby for the week that his mother would be gone, or the 10 days, whatever we do.
You guys are usually 10 to 11 days.
Yeah, let me just check. Yeah, 10 to 11. Let's see, 1, 2, 3.
You don't have to keep track of it.
We want to know, Phil, how long you're going to be gone. Do you mind?
No, but it's just,
I'm sorry, but, you know, no one's telling us. Well, let's see, this is going to be 11 days, 12 days, so we have to keep track of it. We have the chart right here. I'll show you.
I don't want to see your chart. Sorry, I mean, you guys...
We went to a little bit of time and trouble.
Right here, Mr. You see on this chart here? The flow chart shows that you left on the 29th. You came home back on the 3rd of January. She came back here.
Here, that's not right.
I got it already. I can... So, Jackie, can I get back to the story?
Go ahead.
So, Jackie's coming out here. No, I'm going there.
God, you're going there.
I'm going there a week from Saturday. Because Kirby boy cannot be left with a...
Now, who's taking care of your dear, beautiful little cat, Thunder?
Thunder gets taken care of by Thunder's got her own thing. She's got her own people.
What does that mean?
Don't worry about it.
What, did she order up her own cat sitter?
Pretty much.
You're kidding, right, Mr. Henry?
I think so, yeah. So anyway, the more important point that I'm making here is that our good buddy Kirby is going to have to be in the hands, the ever-loving hands of his mom's there, Jackie. So I'm flying back there to Florida.
Now, I got to ask the question. How are you guys, if that dog is as old as you say, how are you guys possibly getting that animal to California?
We're going
to
get a...
get an RV, right?
We're going to get a recreational vehicle, yeah.
You're going to get a what?
You know what an RV is, right, man?
God, man. Oh.
We're going to get an RV, and we're going to rent an RV, and we're going to bring his ass out here that way, you know?
So you're bringing Kirby Boy out in style, huh?
Yeah, I mean, look at, he's 17. There's no way we're putting him in a dog carrier or a crate and putting him on an airplane.
You're going to get a lot of people who disagree with that. There's a lot of people who feel that a dog is perfectly fine. I don't care. Well, Phil, you didn't hear what I had to say.
You're going
to
tell me a lot of people feel that a dog is perfectly fine in a crate, in a pressurized section of an aircraft, flying, and I'm telling you a 17-year-old dog is not. Okay?
All right. Fine. I mean, look at...
Do you have any experience with old pets? I mean, any of you? You?
No.
No, I don't.
No. All right, so, do you?
No.
But Jackie does, okay? And that's what we're going to do. Bring him to California in an RV. I mean, I guess we could charter a plane.
Oh, get you.
But obviously that's a considerable expense. So, no, we're going to bring Kirby once the house is sold. Everything gets transported to California. And she and I and Kirby... pack our asses into an RV and we're, you know.
So you're going to do the whole nomad land.
Hey, how about that, huh? Stay at those campgrounds?
Yeah, probably.
That'd be a lot of fun, mister. And you could do broadcasts on the road and everything.
Yeah, you know, like Travels with Kirby.
Sure, we'll do Travels with Kirby and we'll...
Well, that's very, very nice. Now, are we going to get into the show or are we going to sit here jaw-jacking, gas-bagging?
And cocktail link fondling.
Right.
Boy, oh boy.
Oh, Phil, we're kidding.
Yeah, we're going to get into the show.
Cocktail link fondling.
The first up, we got Bud Hoop.
I get probably gonna have Doug Dozier.
Who's Doug Dozier?
I'm sorry, Vernon Dozier.
Vernon Dozier joining us here in the world famous Phil Hendry Show. And Coach Dozier, you and I were talking, Coach, early in the week about the idea of a racing team. Now, I know that you had seen Joe Gibbs, the Washington Redskin, or the former Washington Redskin coach, with his racing team, and he'd been very, very popular. Is that kind of got the, is that how the bug got in your ears, more or less?
Yeah, it's a, it's something I've always been interested in racing. But I've been interested in racing as a healthy pursuit and not so I could be out there. One of the things I did, Phil, is Terry Coogan and a couple of the other coaches at our combine bought a racing car. They bought an interest in a NASCAR, the sports car.
Okay.
And so I thought that would be interesting to put together a racing team. But I said to the guys, I said, how do you deal with the reality that most people go to automobile racing to see someone get into an accident and possibly die?
Oh, you're kidding. You think that's true?
I know it's true. I know that people go to auto races to see people die if they can.
A lot of people go to races and they think it's neat when they see it, but it's not that they want to see it.
Well, I don't know, buddy. You tell me that you go to an auto race because you want to. What? Say that again.
What Bud's saying is, people go to the auto races to see the racing. Yeah, if an accident happens, they think it's thrilling, but it's not the primary reason.
Yeah, I personally agree with that. I don't know anything about racing, but I do know that people like to see death. There's no question about that.
Oh, look at the people on the highway. That looky-loo thing.
Well, you're all hitting me with all kinds of different opinions. I'm telling you, in my opinion, and this is just an opinion-based subject, I guess, is that people go to auto racing to see a car explode and burn with a man. You know, Phil, it's funny. You see the very obvious thing. You see how people, just as you said, one of the panel said, I don't know if it was Dickman or it was Bob, what's your name again?
My name is General Shaw, not Bob.
I'm sorry. One of you said something about the looky-loop thing.
It was Robert.
Okay, Robert. I think Robert's closer than any of you. It's a looky-loop thing.
Okay, so let's say that people go to races because they want to see someone die. And I cannot believe that that's acceptable to you. If you want to involve yourself in racing, that's not anything you're going to want, right?
No, it is not anything that I would want. That's why I have resisted it. And that's why I said to Terry Coogan, and I said to Bob Boteel, and some of the other coaches, I said, if you want to invest in a team, I think Demolition Derby is the way to go, because people get what they want. They see the cars getting smashed to bits. You can ram into a man. You know, it seems like a no-brainer.
Demolition Derby is, if you don't mind me saying, Coach, seems like an asinine spectacle that is... Hasn't Demolition Derby... Now, forgive me for interrupting. Hasn't Demolition Derby... Derby?
It's not Derby, Phil.
Well, what is it, Derby or Derby?
It's Derby. Isn't Demolition Derby, isn't that something that's rather passe? People, they don't do that anymore.
Well, yes, they do. You go down here to Westcott Park or go over here to the funnel... you know what that is, Phil? That's right out here. It's near where the school is, where Belmar is.
The funnel. I've never been there.
All right. Well, they take automobiles, and they go into the funnel every Friday night, and they go head-on into each other. In fact, that's the kind of demolition derby they're doing over there, where the guys hunker down behind the wheel, they stare straight ahead, they floor it, and they smash the cars head-on. Okay? You know what that means, right?
Well, what does it mean? Somebody's going to die?
It means that it's very possible someone could die. But if you want to be honest about it, if you want to do honest racing and do what people really want to see, Demolition Derby.
So you're going to go into, let me get this straight, you're going to be part of a team,
you're going to be part of some racing team that only does Demolition Derby.
We're going to try to revive Demolition Derby to a level whereby fans are going to want to come and see it, and they're going to pay money to see it, and we won't lie to them. We'll say, come on out and watch, we're going to destroy automobiles. And, I don't want to see anybody get hurt, Phil, but the fact is...
Well, that's exactly what you said. You're saying that's why people go to racing.
No, I don't think people go to racing because they want... I think people go to racing because they want to see the cars destroyed.
All right, so they want to see automobiles destroyed, not necessarily the people.
Well, what's the... Well, I know what the difference is, but... okay, so how do you keep the man safe?
Well, here's what I think. You know, you can't
wreck a car and not have the guy get killed.
Well, yes, you can.
Well, what is this thing, this funnel, where they're running right into each other?
That's something that I go and I watch, and I am not happy about this about myself. I like it. I enjoy it. Do I want to see the men get hurt? No, I don't.
Are there any, just out of curiosity, any females driving out there?
Where?
At this funnel?
At this funnel, Phil, it is the number one demolition derby spot in Southern California. There are people driving cars at high speed right into each other. Okay? I mean, right head on.
Okay, so are there women?
Yes, there are female drivers, yeah. There are female drivers. I said female drivers. It hurts me to say that women could get hurt, so that's why I can't.
You have a hard time saying female driver?
Yeah, it comes out female driver.
What's your problem, anyway?
I don't know. I can't say female trouble. I can't say the words, Phil.
You can't say the words what? Female drivers?
Yes, because I, as much as I want to see Demolition Derby take off and go to the next level, which is head-on collisions that run the risk of killing the drivers, no, we don't want the drivers to die. We want them to have every kind of protection. And the idea that female trouble... The idea that women will be dribbling.
Let me ask you something, because we got a lot of people on this show that have problems. Are you telling me you can't say...
I got no problems, General.
Well, yes, you do. You can't say the word female drivers. Can you say women drivers?
I can say women dribble. I can't say it, though.
What's the problem?
The problem is, as much as I love Demolition Derby, the idea of women being hurt driving cars bothers me.
Well, it sounds like the wrong business for you, Coach.
It's not the... Well, that's an interesting thing. I just got done telling you people that I love racing.
Look, you may love racing, Coach. There's no doubt about that. And you may love Demolition Derby on some level, but this is a you want to ratchet Demolition Derby up to the point of driving cars head on into each other at high rates of speed where the drivers risk death, and you're so abhorred by that you can't imagine women driving, and you call them female dribbles. Am I getting this right?
No, you're not. No. What did you carve that up to use your vernacular, Phil? You butchered that alive. No. What I'm saying to you is, well, yes, I agree with what, that's exactly.
All right, so Phil got it right.
Yes, Phil got it right.
Then why do it, Coach?
Because I, first of all, you can't do Demolition Derby when the cars in NASCAR are doing 200 miles an hour, because that's when your driver, even if it's a woman driver, will disintegrate right along with the car. If you're doing Demolition Derby at 200 miles an hour.
Well, that's idiotic. And the idea that anybody would even countenance something like that sounds like mental illness. Demolition Derby at 200 miles an hour. What, driving directly into each other?
Well, if you're going to do Demolition Derby, and you're going to do it the right way, you got to drive head-on into each other. That's my philosophy.
And, okay, so this sounds to me, Coach, like you'll get involved in Demolition Derby when they elevate it to this level of near suicide.
I don't like to look at it that way, Phil. What I like to say is this.
Well, you don't like to look at it that way. That's what it sounds like it is.
Hold on. I'm a competitor. I coach football. I will not be coaching football for the rest of my life. What will happen to me is generally I'll be, retired with wanting something to do. So I thought what would be fun and what would help me take out much of the angst that I've developed over the years from losing seasons in football to the way I was talked to by some parents. You know, you get over these things. Don't worry about it. But some of it stays with you. Some of these parents can say some things that are pretty hurtful. Questioning your coaching skills, questioning your ability as a teacher, questioning your manhood. Some of these guys literally will question whether you even got what you claimed to got between the...
We get the point.
Okay, so all of that, put that all into one basket. When I retire, how do I get out all the pure...
Are you going to use the word hate?
No, I don't. But there's anger... And there's a desire to hurt. I guess you'd have to say hurt myself, because I don't want to hurt another human being.
And so Demolition Derby helps you get that feelings of aggression and anger out by driving a car head on to another guy.
Yes, yeah. To give it as concise a spin as possible, that's it.
We're talking to Coach Vernon Dozier here about Demolition Derby, about auto racing, about what he wants to do once he retires. All of this inspired by the career of Joe Gibbs, former head coach of the Washington Redskins, who himself, I think, still owns the Gibbs. Do you know who we're talking about, Margaret?
Yes. Frank has watched the football over the years. I know Joe Gibbs. He purchased a racing team.
Yeah, that's the racing team of NASCAR.
Now, NASCAR is the stock cars, right?
That's what NASCAR is. The stock car racing is oval track. It goes around and around, which is the other problem.
That's the thing that Frank has always said. He likes racing, but he doesn't like the monotony of just around and around and around.
Well, that's something Frank and I have in common. I don't like it either. I'd rather see good, clean, honest racing where a man starts at one end of the backstretch, the other man starts the other end of the backstretch, and they go right for each other at 200, well, probably not.
You just got done saying that at 200 miles an hour, they disintegrate.
Yes, they would. But truth be told, Phil, if you want good, pure, clean Demolition Derby, and you want to be a man about it, okay, and you don't want to just be backing up into someone, have you ever seen Demolition Derby?
Of course. I used to watch it on TV as a kid.
You watched it on TV?
Channel 13 had it. Yeah, they had racing from Ascot Park.
Yeah, you know what? You're right.
Yeah, I used to watch that stuff on Channel 13 on Friday night. They had racing from Ascot Park. They did figure eight racing. They did the Demolition Derby. You know, Ascot Park at one time was the number one sports venue.
All right, Phil, can we just...
Sorry.
So what I'm saying is, what I want and what I will propose to the racing board over there at the funnel, will you guys countenance head-on, you know, demolition derby at a higher speed and a little bit further? For instance, I think the cars should start at 50 yards apart and should, you know, achieve speeds of, say, 70 miles an hour and go head-on right into each other.
Now, what kind of reinforcement are you guaranteeing that the drivers, what kind of safety, what are the safety measures for the drivers?
Well, okay, we'll talk about safety measures. That's an important thing to talk about. But if you're trying to attract fans to a sport, the first thing you don't say, hey, fans, we've got demolition derby, two cars 50 yards apart, or whatever, 75 yards apart, we'll start out, get up to 75 miles an hour and run right into each other head first. But first, let's get into how it's going to be safe for the drivers. The fans, you don't understand. You don't get it.
Well, if you're saying that then the fans come out to see a guy die, that's not the first thing you want to talk about, the safety of the driver.
Yeah,
well,
see, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, well, thank you. So,
Oh, it makes sense, huh? So you got no concern for the safety of the driver.
I got concern for the safety of the driver, but we want to get a sport here. I got concern for the safety of the driver, but we want to get people out to watch the sport. Okay, so it's six of one, half of the other. How are we going to do it? And how are we going to get these people to sit in the stands and watch this thing?
You going to demonstrate this?
I'm going to demonstrate. We have a recording from last week. We tried this out at Toller Flats. Dick Kiergakken was out there and some of the other guys. Here's a roll that from zero. I got Mandy helping. You got that, honey?
Uh-huh.
Let's go and roll it from zero. Wait till you hear this, Phil. This is beautiful. That was two automobiles head-on. What'd you think?
And what happened to the drivers?
Well, there were no drivers. See, that one, the guys bailed out. See, it's a little reminiscent of a chickie run. If you've ever been in one, for General, did you ever do a chickie run?
No, I did not do a chickie run.
Well, what you do is you're heading straight at each other. You make sure the cars, then you dive and roll. Now,
and that's what those guys did?
Yeah, they rolled out just before contact was made. Now, I don't propose that is going to be part of the rules. I think you've got to stay in the car. And so Earl Key got him, and Trust Mammum did that. And it's, here was that. You got that one? Cue it up to two, honey.
That was two guys hitting head-on.
That was two guys hitting head-on. Maximum speed there was 75 miles an hour.
And what happened to the guys?
They're fine. They walked away. When I say they walked away, they walked about 10 feet. Then they collapsed, you know.
They collapsed.
They collapsed onto stretchers, but then they were taken out of the grandstands. And eventually they got up and walked around. They were fine. Took about an hour,
huh? Coach, that does not sound to me like any kind of racing that I'm going to want to watch.
Well, Phil, you're not a typical race fan. Typical. I told you, they walked out of the cars.
And then collapsed after about 10 feet.
Yes, but they walked out. In fact, I saw Kierbottom. He came out, waved to the fans, hey, and then buckled about 7 feet from the car. The car was on fire.
Coach, you're going to kill somebody, and you're going to be held liable. You're going to be sued, and you won't have a dime left and die indigent.
Thanks a lot, Phil, for having so much faith in me, Coach Dozier. This is a million-dollar idea, an idea whose time has come, and there's Henry, who decided to unzip, whip it out.
Come on, Coach. Please, there's a lady present.
I'm sorry, Margaret, but that's what Henry's doing. Unzipped, whipped it out, and went, I almost didn't hold it.
Nice one, Coach.
Hey, Phil, I'm not the guy tinkling on a man's dream. You are. I'm not the guy standing there going, oh, man, I almost didn't make it. All over my dreams, you are. I'm Coach Vernon Dozier.
Hey.
Thank you.
Oh, man. Coach, I'm going to let you go, okay?
Yeah, you do that, Phil. You let me go, which is Phil's way of saying go fuck.
That's Coach Vernon Dozier, folks, on his ideas for Demolition Derby.
God. What's so funny?
That's right, man. That's what I do. I stand there over some guy's dream and go, oh, yeah, I almost didn't make it.
Well, you're laughing, Phil, so you find the idea of urinating on a man's dream funny.
No, I don't. Nor do I believe that's what I'm doing. I think Coach Dozier, and I stand by that, is going to get sued, and he's going to go bankrupt.
I'm not saying I disagree, but I think you got to at least... Well, what do you mean you agree with that? Well, what do you think? I think, obviously, the coach has a very, adventurous idea. And yes, it could backfire, but we should give him our support and not sit here, Phil, as he said, and tinkle all over it. I'm Margaret Gray.
Yay. Okay, man. Okay, Margaret and men. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. We got Jay Santos, who is having a tattoo removed. It was...
It's on the left buttock. I spoke earlier with him.
Thank you very much, bud. Why did I think that it would have to be on his ass? It would have to.
Because this is the Phil Henry Show. It's juvenile to the bitter end.
That's us. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
The world famous Phil Henry Show brought to you by Buttercup Spread. It spreads even the first time. Get a piece of bread, slip that buttercup all over it, have yourself a mouthful, and then don't say we didn't warn you. From Fairmont Laboratories.
And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show for the El Pacifico in Southern California. Here then, Phil Henry.
Don't forget, we have our chat tonight. Starts at 7 o'clock, 7 p.m., the BSP chat. And again, we're
working out the sound floor, as Phil calls it. We've had a little bit of a hum in the audio, as you know, over the last several weeks on the BSP chat. So my idea was to play music.
Yeah, you want to play like elevator music or something, right?
I thought some very nice... You know the music, Phil.
I think it's a little corny. No, not that it's a bad idea. It's a little corny. I'd rather get that whole problem fixed. We have a little slight buzz, and it bugs the hell out of me, and I don't even know why we're talking about it.
Because, Phil, that's what you do. You see something that's dangerous, and you decide, I think I'll just go ahead, I'll dive in face first.
That's generally what you do when you die.
That's right.
So, thank you for that. Thank you for the... pleasant thought there, Margaret. Anyway, thank you very much to Coach Dozier for being with us, and the best of luck, Coach, with your ideas having to do with Demolition Derby. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police is joining us from the South Bay here this evening. Jay, this really doesn't... You're at the substation, right?
Yes, Phil, we're right at present time at the substation, yeah.
This really doesn't have much to do with your work as a Citizens Auxiliary Police officer, but you had a tattoo removed, right?
I had the first stage of a tattoo removal that is taking place over here at the Institute, which is the plastic surgery place, but they also do this kind of tattoo removal, yeah.
And you had told me that you were going to have this done, and were asking my advice because I'd had that done.
Well, you've told me that you're in the process of, is that correct?
I am. I'm in the process of having a tattoo removed.
Oh, this is interesting. Why are we the last to learn about this?
Yeah, which one is it, Mr. Henry?
Yeah,
Mr. Henry's having a tattoo.
Wait, I'll talk about it, okay? Thank you. I'm having a tattoo removed, and the reason why I'm having the tattoo, I don't really think I want to get into it.
Mr. Henry said because his current girlfriend wants it removed. He wants it off there for the morning light. That's what you're telling me.
I didn't say anything about it removed before the morning light, but yeah, she wants it.
Oh, my God, I know which one it is.
Yeah, I think I do, too.
All right, enough. The less said about that, I should say, the better. Jay, let's just... Your wife wants the same thing done to you, right?
No, it's got nothing to do with my wife. This is something that I've been meaning to have done. I've been taking some flack and some heat from some of the fellow Oscars, the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and I decided that I'm sick and tired of it, listening to them, going, ew, when I'm in taking a shower. And
You guys shower together. Is that what you do there at the...
Oh, my God.
General, well, no, is that what you guys...
We have a shower area, yeah, that's right. At the substation, anybody's house, we're allowed to go in two at a time and use a shower. Okay, like regular police department, we get to have a shower, too.
But you guys don't really have showers. You have one shower and two of you get in there?
As many as two, yeah. See, here's what I got a problem.
Oh, Jay, you know that Phil is going to be asking these questions.
No, seriously, I have a problem. I don't like the double entendre. You know, Mr. Henry, about the double entendre?
You mean the double entendre? I'm not saying anything. The rest of these jokers, you said that this all stems from taking your shower there at the Citizens Auxiliary Police. I know you use everybody's houses as substations, so there's not communal showers per se.
There's a shower. There's three, like, over at Subcommander Gleason's house, they have three bathrooms and three showers. You can get up to two Citizens Auxiliary Police officers. Are you trying to tell me you've never shared a shower with other men?
At gym class, yeah, when I was at athletic clubs, yeah, perhaps. Not sharing the same shower nozzle.
Yeah, that's the part that...
Well, you know something, if you want me to hang up, because I'm not going to continue...
No, it's fine, Jay. But the fact is, you were in the shower, and these guys noticed this tattoo.
Hold on for a minute. 33-2. Yeah, got it. It's a tattoo I have of a chipmunk. When I thought we were going to form the chipmunk squad, you know.
What does that mean, the chipmunk squad?
I thought there was going to be a chipmunk squad formed, the Citizens Auxiliary Police. A chipmunk squad, essentially, would be a unit of the Citizens Auxiliary Police that would patrol parks and areas of greenery in some of the parks, you know. And we need that, too, to look over the shoulder of the...
We want to look over the shoulder of what, the park service?
Of the, well, the park police, yeah. And so the chipmunk squad was something that was... General Galen Shaw charged me with the formation of the Chipmunk Squad, and I had a chipmunk, and to encourage guys to be part of the... It was a big mistake, you know.
You had a chipmunk tattooed on your...
On the left, above the left buttock, yeah. You can make a big deal out of it.
Well, Jay, you're the one that had the chipmunk...
Ms. Gray just went, well, Jay, hey!
I know what I did, and you're the one with a chipmunk on your ass. Thank you.
Margaret, where are you going?
Oh, my God. Listen to this. Making fun of me.
If I got to keep talking to these lightweights, these friends of yours, Phil. Margaret, come on. Margaret, sit down. He just was... I want him to take that back. Jay, take back you mocking her voice.
I got to take back her mock... She's the one talking about chipmunk.
You're the guy with the chipmunk on your ass, man.
It's not like I'm walking around and there's a chipmunk mounted on my ass going, hey, yeah... I mean, is that...
You know what, man? I ought to hang up on your ass. I hope that the worst pains of hell you go through getting that tattoo off.
I already went through the first stages of it, Phil. And you were right. It was like having the devil himself flay my skin off.
It's not very pleasant. Didn't like it, huh?
No, I did not like it. And to the point where I'm going to go ahead and...
Well, why don't you just keep the chipmunk on your ass?
God, how painful is it, Mr. Rainey?
Pretty painful. But, you know, I'm fine with it. I don't cry. I don't need my mommy. I don't need my blanket.
I don't need my mommy either. I don't need my mommy either. But I thought I'd get a little bit of sympathy, because it was very painful. If you've never had a tattoo removed, folks, I have to tell you, it's hell.
Come on, Jay.
It's hell.
No, you know what? It's quick snaps of laser. And, you can either butch up and handle it or you can't.
Oh, okay. Look at Mr. Big Time. You think you got... What you talk, Mr. Henry, what, you think you withstand torture or something?
I didn't say that at all, man. I just said, you know, I have a tattoo that I'm having removed. I go in for regular... Look, it's like every 6 weeks...
That's what they told me over the Institute, yeah.
Okay, every 6 weeks you gotta come in. And it takes a while, man. Especially if there's a lot of colors to it. Do you have a lot of colors in that tattoo?
I don't want to...
Yeah, Jay, how many colors do you have in your chipmunk tattoo?
Chipmunk.
See what I'm saying, Mr. Henry? You encouraged it.
Jay, how many... Is it a colorful tattoo?
It's got... Yes, the chipmunk has brown... There's browns and greens, and there's blue highlights. And the chipmunk's eyes are sort of red and insane, because I want... The chipmunk squad is badass. We're insane.
The chipmunk squad is badass. All
right. Right. So I gave the chipmunk red eyes and sort of this crazed fang, you know, and it was... And the pose of the chipmunk is like, the chipmunk's coming your way. It's coming at you morning, noon, night, 7 days a week, twice on Sunday. And it was like raised up and fanged.
So it's a multicolored chipmunk. That means Phil said it's going to take longer, right, Phil? Yeah, it does. It takes a lot more, not a lot more, but it takes more treatment to get the colors out. So have you been for a treatment?
I haven't been yet, no.
Oh, okay, so you lied.
So I don't know what...
Well, Jay,
yes, it's painful, but you, dude, you don't sit there and you just read a book or something, man.
What do you do?
I'm going through my phone. I'm looking at crap.
Going through your phone?
Hey, Jay, if you don't want the pain, don't get the chipmunk tattoo removed. It's as simple as that. Sounds pretty elementary, Jay.
Great. So every time I take a shower, I got guys behind me going, Chipmunk Squad.
Why don't you form the Chipmunk Squad?
Why what?
Why didn't you form the Chipmunk? How come what happened to Chipmunk?
Yeah, what happened to Chipmunk Squad?
The Chipmunks, we ran into funding problems, you know?
Funding problem? What the hell funds do you need for the Chipmunk Squad?
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Phil. I really appreciate it.
No, seriously, what kind of funds do you need for the Chipmunk Squad?
Mostly we needed funds for picnic baskets, because if we're going to be out in the park areas, patrolling the park areas, we're going to want to eat. And so we bought some picnic baskets to have it be pleasant.
Yeah, you know what, man? You're going to want to get that chipmunk off your rear end, because you're not out there picnicking anymore. So the chipmunk can only remind you of the times, the good times you're missing.
You know, General, I bet you, do you have any tattoos?
If I do, I'm not telling you about it. General, you're in the military. You don't have any tattoos? No, I do not. I did not get any tattoos. That's unusual, isn't it? No, it's not unusual. There's a lot of guys in the military that have no tattoos. Most of the guys that get tattooed in the military, it's before you're ever in the shit. And what do you think of that? Do you mind the language?
General.
All right, I'm sorry.
Well, you know, it sounds like a lot of big talk. I had a chipmunk before you're in the UN. What? I had the chipmunk tattooed on me as I was taking the first steps of the chipmunk squad. You know?
Well, okay, I can understand. That's some heavy-ass combat.
I come on here to have this joker try to make me look like I'm nothing, like I'm just nothing, like I'm just something that's stuck on the bottom of my shoe.
All right, look, Jay, good luck with the tattoo removal. I told you, it's painful, but you can handle it.
Thanks a lot.
Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary. You sure you want to lock out like that, Jay?
Thanks a lot. Hello?
That's really painful, Mr. Ernest?
Yeah, it's painful, you know, but it's, I'm not, you deal with it, you know. If you want a tattoo removed and you want it done right, you go in, they have a laser, and if you have a lot of colors involved, you know, and they start removing the tattoo. Mine is going to take, I don't know what, like 8 sessions over the period of like 8 months.
8 months you're going through this? It takes that long?
Yeah, it does, to fade it and to get it treated. And what do you put on anything? You put it like a bandage? Yeah, you put a bandage on it for like 12 hours, but then you put on some of that bacitracin antibiotic, and you live with it. But it's not so painful that you're going to sit there and squirt tears for your mommy, you know?
All right, Phil, so we know you're butch and you can deal with it.
I'm just telling Jay that, man, because he's the cat that says he wants to get this chipmunk off his ass, if you'll pardon the expression.
Hey.
World famous Phil Henry Show for the El Pacifico, executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One. Don't forget, tonight we've got the Backstage Pass chat, 7 p.m. If you're a BSP, a new BSP, join us. Get on the board, baby.